A young man asked God what time was like for God. And God said what he said in 2 Peter, 1,000 years is like a day to me. And the young man said, wow, what's $1,000,000 like to you, God? And God said, $1,000,000, it's like a penny to me, son. And the young man asked God, can you spare a cent? And God said, sure, just give me a day. From the opening chapters of Genesis until Isaiah 40, 2,000 years of biblical time have elapsed, and in that time God has moved from being somebody, if you have studied Genesis and Exodus, you will know this, to be somebody who is portrayed as impulsive, sometimes vindictive, judgmental, and even warlike. But once Isaiah 40 arrives, God's demeanor changes to being strong, comforting, loving, forgiving, and forever enduring, and self-sacrificial. What would it be like if we were to change in the same way that God changes? What would our world be like if we were to change and improve the way we behave towards one another every day of our lives? Not thinking that we didn't need to do anything different, but knowing that each day we begin again and again with new ways of relating to one another in ways that are helpful and healthy and ways that build community rather than tear it down. Ways that are, since the beginning of time, the way that the Lord intended it, so that creation and the community is once again considered good. Because this is what Advent is really all about. Besides watching and waiting for God to return, we are to be in the process of changing who we are in the event that God suddenly appears. We don't know when that's going to be, but God's given us a message and a mission. And if God's coming into our lives seems slow at times, it's because we perceive time in a different way than God perceives it. We see time in what would be called chronos, going from point A to point B along a long linear line, the steady ticking away of seconds and minutes and days and years until we die. But God sees time in a cycle that moves like this, which is called kairos time, or salvation time. Time enough for us to change with the seasons and to become ready to receive his coming into our lives, which, as Peter reminds us, is a good thing. Because until we change, we will not see God's arrival in our lives. And so the Lord says, don't worry, I will not be slow about my promises, as some count slowness, but the Lord instead is forbearing towards us, not wishing that any of us should perish, but that all should reach a state of repentance, that all of us should simply go in a new direction. Repentance, that act of literally turning around and going in a new direction, forbearing the continuous action of exercising patience, for example, of self-control, of restraint, of anger. And both of these are possible for us because God has already shown us that these changes are something that humans are capable of, as he has given us his son as an example of what this change would look like in human form. Now, to truly appreciate the magnitude of this change, listen to these words of God from Isaiah chapter 6. This is where the shift in who God is really takes a radical departure and then goes in a brand new direction. And he says in chapter 6, go, he's saying this to Isaiah, go say to this people, your congregation, hear and hear, but do not understand. See and see, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people fat and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. And then Isaiah said to the Lord, how long, O Lord, how long? And God said, until cities lie wasted without inhabitants, and houses without men and women, and the land is utterly desolate, and the Lord removes men far away, and the forsaken places are made in the midst of the land, and though a tenth of the people remain in the land, it will be burned again, so that there's only one left, one stump, one seed of Jesse, of David. Wow. That's in chapter 6 and 9. Now, listen to Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly now to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, her exile is coming to an end, that her iniquity, her sins have been pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. Double. And he will feed his flock like a shepherd, and he will gather unto himself the lambs in his arms, and he will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. A very different image now of who God is and what God will be doing from the one that's bringing about utter destruction. And this is a huge change in God, a change that seems to last and stick too. Talk of death and destruction for the most part ends with this chapter. Chapter 40. Talk of comfort, talk of forgiveness, tenderness, and mercy for the most take over through the rest of the Bible. And if we have any doubt about it, then let us look to see who Jesus is, because he incarnates all of the words of the prophets and the law. And we see that God is somebody who looks like us, and yet somebody who is able of doing magnificent things that we are capable of doing too. Desiring us to be more loving, more forgiving, more healing, more in touch with reality, more aware of people that are hurting around us, more aware that it's not about myself, but it's about those that I come into contact with. It's about how I can serve every human being on the face of this earth in a way that reflects and magnifies God's glory. It's not God's desire, as some Christians claim, to have some of us die at the rapture, at the second coming, while others of us get saved, as if somehow that's good news. It's God's desire instead. It's God's forbearance instead. It's God's continuing action of exercising patient self-restraint, that he doesn't wipe us all out again, that all might be saved, all of us, and delays the second coming so that we have a chance to get on board with this, and continually delays it for our benefit. But only appears as a delay to those of us who are impatient and believe that it's okay that some should be forced off into hell or into damnation, right? The reason for Advent is the very reason we need to turn around and go in a new direction, because until we can love like God, which is unconditionally, until we can love with a sacrificial demonstration that we are willing to give up our very lives for somebody else, which is a tall order to begin with, but Christ calls us to do it, then we are not where we need to be. And until we can forgive our enemies and our neighbors, not seven times, but seven times 70, until we see the world with righteous eyes, eyes that see the way God sees, until we see things as they really are and want for those things to be made right, for justice, as the prophet says, to roll down like rivers and mercy like an ever-flowing stream, then we are the ones who should be most glad that God has delayed the final judgment. We should be thanking God. Thank you for not coming back quite yet. We're still trying to get it together, Lord. Because it isn't God that needs to change this time. It's you and me that need to change this time. And God knows that. And the key to knowing if we are on the right track, to knowing if we're walking in the way of Jesus, is if we can honestly say that all of our rising up and all of our lying down, in other words, every waking moment and even our sleeping moments, are done with the effort to live out of our lives as if it was me and not my neighbor or my sister or my brother, but me who is standing in the need of transformation, change, and prayer. Right? Until I can own my own stuff and just deal with that. That's a lifetime of work for each and every one of us. The minute you start working on the speck in somebody else's eye, way off track. It's so much more preferable to do that, though, isn't it? I do like to find specks at times when there's a freaking log in my own eye. Advent, you see, is our reminder that we are continuously to be about change. We're never there. We're never kind of like, Lord, I've got it all together now. We're changing, you see, all the time from being self-righteous to becoming righteous, which is different. Righteousness is something God puts upon us and calls us. Self-righteous is something we call ourselves. Self-certain people into being humble, open people who ask only for the knowledge of God's will in our lives to take hold. We are to be a holy people, God says, which means we are to be different from others. And by that difference, it should look like this. We are to love mercy. Wherever we see it, wherever somebody is forgiving somebody, wherever somebody is exercising that kind of forbearance, we are to embrace it for practicing justice in our own lives so that when we go out and act, we act in just ways with our neighbors and that we walk ultimately very humbly with God, aware that God is the majesty. God is the crown. God is who we bow before. God is who we ask for the admittance into his kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, we say. And when we do this, then the prophecy of Isaiah becomes real, and we prepare the way of the Lord's coming so that, as it says in the text, that all flesh shall see it. And the image that they give is that every valley will be lifted up, every mountain will be brought low, what is rough and hard to walk on will suddenly become smooth, and all flesh shall walk upon this straight, flat, forever horizoned way and see the Lord coming at once. It's a beautiful image. It's poetry, but it's beautiful. That the crooked shall be made straight, that what is lowly shall be lifted up, and all flesh, not just my flesh, not just your flesh, but all flesh shall see it together. That is what the good news of Advent is all about, as we prepare for the arrival of God in the most unlikely and unusual of ways, and yet in the most ordinary of circumstances, born to a mother with a father in the most humble of places, a barn. No pomp, no circumstance. Only the shepherds saw it, and a few wise, wise people who came from an Eastern university, as Garrison Keillor says, saw it. But then it spread, and that's what we're to do. We're to help it spread, for where it's taken hold in our lives, we can now be that light that shines in the darkness. And as John says, the darkness will never overcome those tiny bits of light that you and I are, because we will always shine and break forth, just like Jesus did. Amen.
Rio, Rio, Tio, la guarda ribera, yo guardo de lobo a nuestra cordera, yo guardo de lobo a nuestra cordera. Rio, Rio, Tio, la guarda ribera, yo guardo de lobo. Y a los